SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tuesday continues, as does the countdown to the National Football League draft. The madness has begun, but we're now just 37 days away from the National Football League draft as well, and the sports books continue to post more and more props for the draft. Let's break it down. AllAccessFootball.com, the founder of the NFL Draft Bible, Rick Saratella, steps up and in on the Twisted Tuesday. What's going on, Rick? Thanks for joining us tonight. Baby.
Yeah, buckle up, man. I love being here each and every week. We've been doing this for years. That's what I love about Gabriel Morenci. He wants to talk to me every week, not just once a year. Everybody calls me up in March and April. They just want to talk to me once a year. We're here talking draft year-round. Unbelievable. Let's get into it.
Well, the NFL is like money. It never sleeps. Let's be real. And the NFL draft stock market, as well, is as fluid and as volatile right now as the real stock market is. There's a lot of uncertainty out there as far as this NFL draft. But one thing that people are starting to settle in on is that, and it's been all over the place, man. I remember a couple of weeks ago, people thought Abdul Carter was going to be the number one pick in the draft. But now people are buying in that the Tennessee Titans are going to hang on to the pick, that nobody's going to get crazy with any sort of offers, and they're going to pull the trigger on Cam Ward. It's minus 500 right now, Rick, at the sportsbooks for Cam Ward to be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, it appears that way, and I'd love for you to go find me the NFL Observer that believes the Tennessee Titans are going to go into the season with Will Levis as their starting quarterback again, okay? And it's getting late early. Like, you look around, there's not really a lot of options. I don't want any of these bozos that are left on the open market starting for my NFL franchise, okay? So we got to bet on the upside. I like Shedeur Sanders for whatever that's worth. The NFL seems to prefer Cam Ward. Okay, he could be a successful quarterback, but I think at this point it all points to quarterbacks one and two off the board.
And in your latest mock draft, you do have Shedeur Sanders going to the Cleveland Browns second, right?
I do. I just think that, you know, again, like, you look around, Deshaun Watson is done. I think they already tried the Joe Flacco experiment. Russell Wilson is on the back nine. He's a backup at this point. And Aaron Rodgers ain't coming to Cleveland. So where do you turn? Well, it's Shedeur Sanders, who, from what I understand, Andrew Berry is a very big fan. The Harvard graduate is a very big fan of Shedeur Sanders, as am I. So I can see Shedeur Sanders going number two to Cleveland.
Shedeur has, of course, become a polarizing player. People have him all over the place when it comes to these mock drafts right now. But I'm with you. I like him. We've talked a lot about him. I think he's going to be a solid NFL quarterback. Now, this is an interesting prop right now, Rick, because I'm not so sure that we don't have some value here. First non-quarterback selected in the NFL draft. Right now, it's Abdul Carter, minus 350. Like, that's a pretty insane bet to make at minus 350. Travis Hunter is plus 275. And in your mock draft, you've got Travis Hunter going before Abdul Carter, not to mention the Abdul Carter injury situation right now that might put some teams off, not all, but some. But from a betting perspective, I think we got value here at Travis Hunter to be the first non-quarterback taken. Mason Graham is plus 1,600 to be the first non-quarterback taken. Travis Hunter is plus 275. Abdul Carter minus 350. Rick, what do you think about this prop?
Well, I think it becomes down to two players, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter Jr. For me, Travis Hunter is the cleanest player in the draft, and I understand the Giants just signed Paulson Adebo, but why not turn a weakness into a strength? And why not take the best player in the NFL draft? And why not take a guy that you don't have to worry about this foot injury? This is the same foot injury Tyree Wilson had, if you remember, from the Texas Tech.
Oh, from the Raiders. That went to the Raiders. Yeah, and where is he now? I didn't like that pick at the time. Neither did you. Remember that? They overreached.
Well, they had to put a screw in the foot. And, you know, while the doctor recommended that Abdul Carter doesn't need the screw in the foot as of now, eventually, I believe at some point there's a very good chance he is going to have that procedure done. And so that's going to put him out for at least 2 months, rehab it back. I mean, if we're being honest, he should just get it done now. But, you know, he's going to go into the draft, into the season without getting this procedure done. At some point, this could creep up. So if you're picking in the top three and you want the surest thing and the cleanest player and the best top talent, all signs would point to Travis Hunter, in my book, at least. So we'll see.
We have odds, you know, for each position. Who's going to be the first player taken at each position? Ashton Jeanty is minus 1,600 at the running back spot. And there are some good running backs in the draft. But, and I know Hampton, people are buzzing about Hampton right now out of North Carolina, Rick. But we know Jeanty will be the first back taken. But offensive lineman intrigues me. And I'm curious your opinion on this. First offensive lineman drafted, Rick. Membu, minus 120. Will Campbell, plus 110. Banks Jr., plus 550. Josh Simmons, 25-1. There's no lock that Membu is going to be the first O-line man picking here, is it? What's your take on the O-line? Well, if you had to bet, who would it be?
There's a lot of smoke in the forest fires coming out that the NFL just loves Membo after his combine performance, his 4.91 40, to be able to have that kind of athleticism. I'll be the first one to tell you.
The kid that blazed it on that 40, all right, when everyone was cheer freaking out in the stadium, right?
Yeah, that's so, right. He blew the lid off of Lucas Oil Stadium. But you go back to the film, you don't see it on the film show up. I actually graded Membu as a guard. I think he needs to kick inside personally. Now, I actually have Tyler Booker as the top offensive lineman in this draft, who is a natural guard. He is the best offensive lineman, but guards are devalued, so he won't be the first offensive lineman off the board. It's leaning towards Membu. I think Will Campbell has a very good chance. What's funny is I think Kelvin Banks out of Texas is the best tackle in my book, but there's a lot of fluctuation, shall we say, when it comes to offensive line grades.
That's a good point, Rick. It's a great point. And also, offensive lineman really is a team preference, isn't it? You know, some teams will like a certain guy, some teams will like another guy. You're right. There's a lot of volatility there at that position. Listen, Banks is a badass, and you're getting plus 550.
Kelvin Banks has not missed a start at left tackle since his sophomore year of high school. That's a gamer.
All right, so first, let's talk about the defensive line now. So first defensive lineman, edge player, they have the combination. First defensive lineman slash edge drafted. Abdul Carter's 22-1. Now listen, Mason Graham is 11-1. Williams is 16-1. Green is 25-1. Okay, Carter's supposed to go ahead of Mason Graham, but let's just say hypothetically, teams really don't like the medical report or don't like what they're seeing. I don't think it's insane. That's, you know, it's a flyer. It's a lottery ticket, 11-1. Rick, what do you think about the first lineman edge player taken?
Well, I think, you know, Mason Carter's got to work out here at the Michigan Pro Day because I thought he turned Mason Graham off. Yeah, Mason Graham turned some people off not working out at the combine. So, you know, some people might be waiting on that pro day. I think Michael Williams out of Georgia might be the dark horse here because you're talking about this guy's getting compared to Trayvon Walker. He played with, like, a fractured ankle or a bum ankle this past year, played through it. But if you go back to his film last year, they're comparing this guy to Trayvon Walker, and I see it. I believe it. I think Michael Williams has as much upside as any edge rusher in this year's draft, even maybe more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tuesday continues. This is Sports Ridge. I am Morenci. The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We're breaking it down with Rick Saratella. Countdown to the NFL Draft is on. We'll get back to the college basketball in a couple of minutes. But, Rick, looking at the, you know, there's been so much talk about it being a weak quarterback draft, but there are some other positions. Like, it's pretty deep at the running back spot, and there's a bunch of pretty good tight ends in this draft as well. on the board right now, Tyler Warren out of Penn State, -700 to be the number one tight end drafted. Then my boy Colston Loveland out of Michigan, +550 is the next choice. Listen, Warren is a freaking stud. And one thing about Warren, Rick, you know, soft hands for a big man, but I said it at the time, it's hard to tell, isn't it, Rick, how big somebody is when they play for Penn State because of their uniforms, right? Like, they wear these black shoes, and, you know, they're so plain, it's hard to tell, like, the size. You can tell with the old linemen, you know what I mean, with the white jerseys and their stomachs and stuff, but he's, like, a lot bigger than I think people realize. He's a big-ass kid, but he's fast. He's got good hands. You can't say anything bad about Tyler Warren. The kid's just a baller.
Yeah, I mean, if the uniform's giving you problems, flip on the film and just watch this guy carry guys into the end zone, right? I mean, he's got guys carrying on his back. He's breaking tackles. He's taking...
And get open, too. And he gets open as well.
He gets open, but he's a heck of an athlete. Like, I have him going to the Saints, I think, number 11 overall. I said, get ready for the Warren cat, because this guy takes snaps under center. He lines up in the backfield.
How about this? The tie cat. The tie cat. Tyler Warren. We'll go with the tie cat.
I love it. I love it. The tie cat with who's the other quarterback / tight end? Taysom Hill and
Taysom
Warren.
Hill there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they got no quarterback, so why not throw Tyler Warren there? But listen, this Colston Loveland. This Colston Loveland. This guy is a marauder. I mean, this guy, like, he gives me Heath Miller vibes. But, you know, Gabe, like, when I compile these background and medical reports for the NFL Draft Bible, like, Colston Loveland jumped out to me, because this guy, like, I have it right here in front of me. He suffered a type V AC injury. Like, go Google that. Type V AC injury in September. Underwent a labrum repair and AC joint reconstruction on January 29th. Okay, so like 6 months before the season, and he played through this. Like, he was not completely healed, and he had a season for the age. I mean, this guy, yards after catch, route running ability, hard-nosed blocker.
He was the only guy catching balls early in the season too, when Michigan's quarterbacks were struggling as well. And he takes a beating. Like, he runs people over. He takes, like, he's not afraid of contact, Loveland, at all. Like, he goes down low and tries to hurt you.
Yeah, and I think what I'm trying to say here is that you haven't seen the best of Colston Loveland, and that's a scary thought. And so that's
think about it,
I
poor guy. He was good with J.J. McCarthy, right? When J.J. was there, and it was more of a run-heavy offense. But imagine him with, like, Justin Herbert. Right? I'm just stating. Right? You know what I mean? Or J.J. McCarthy, right? Even with the Minnesota Vikings.
Absolutely. Well, I have him going to the Chargers, because in my latest mock draft that came out on allaccessfootball.com the other day, I said, what happens when best available player meets team need, meets former head coach? I mean, that's what Colston Loveland is just going to be hanging out there for Jim Harbaugh to pluck. And you go back to all the way back to San Diego when he was coaching. He's been developing tight ends at the collegiate level, at Stanford, at Michigan, even at the NFL. So Harbaugh loves him some tight ends. And after Tylan Warren, there's none better than Colston Loveland. And I will say, like, tight end arguably is the deepest position in the draft on the offensive side of the football.
One position that isn't deep, and it seems to be a forgotten position. The running back position got undervalued for a couple of years. There seems to be a premium on it a little bit once again now. But linebackers, right? You know, those star linebackers, Rick, you and I growing up, you know what I mean? It used to be the linebackers was one of the marquee sort of star, you know what I mean, positions, right? From the Singletaries, the Buckuses, you know, the Hams, we can go, you know what I mean? You go through Lawrence Taylor's, like, you go through like linebackers. You know, you don't really have that anymore. And from everything I see here, this is a pretty thin linebacker class. There's a few guys at the top here. Jalen Walker's the favorite at -300. Jahad Campbell is a player that people really like at +225. I know the kid from Cal is impressing people right now, but you know, you got Barrett Carter at 100. That's all you need to know. I mean, Jalen Walker's -300. Then you got Campbell plus 225. And then the next guy, Barrett Carter, is 125 to 1. That's all you need to know about the thinness of the linebacker spot coming into this draft, Rick.
Yeah, and you know, what you say is valid because back in the day, like, defenses built their stoutness up the middle. You got to have strong defensive tackles, strong middle linebackers, strong safety.
Shane Conlin, Buffalo Bills, Chris Spielman, you know what I mean? Linebackers, Urlacher.
Pittsburgh Steelers all day long, right? Baltimore Ravens, Smash Mouth football. But I'll tell you what. Like, I look
at Ray Lewis. Exactly. Go on and on.
You know? Yeah, the best off-ball linebackers in this year's class, you can state a case. Like, Jalen Walker out of Georgia, some people like him as a pass rusher. And, like, Jahad Campbell out of Alabama, who I think has a very good chance to go before Jalen Walker off of his combine. And this guy ran at 230 pounds. He ran a 4.48 40. Hit 23 miles per hour, you know, like he runs faster than 90% of the running backs in the league. So it wouldn't surprise me if Jahad Campbell was the first linebacker off the board. But I go back and I watch Jahad Campbell at Alabama when the Crimson Tide used him in pass rushing situations. That seems to be where he's at his best. Like, I went back and watched the film. I now believe Jahad Campbell's best position in the pros is at edge rusher. And that's the same situation as Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons was like an all-ball linebacker.
Yeah.
Situational edge rusher, just like Jalen Walker. And I think Jahad Campbell was a situational pass rusher. Like, the snaps that he took getting after the quarterback is more impressive than anything else he did. So it's between Walker and Campbell. I think Campbell has – I mean, I have Walker graded higher than Campbell. But there's a lot,
up against
a lot of love for Campbell.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Quick as 120 minutes of sports talk and television continues. Shows just flying by. They will all week. We're going to be on, actually, at a special time, Thursday and Friday. Normally, we're on at 9 o'clock, 7. I'm all confused with the time zones. Normally, we're on from 7 till 9 Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. But, yeah, we're going to be on until 1 o'clock. So we'll be on for 3 hours during the late session of the NCAA games, Thursday and Friday, including UC San Diego and the Michigan Wolverines. 3-2 right now in Vancouver. 6.5 minutes left in the second period of play. And I was just looking online right now, and I got a tweet here somebody sent me. And I gotta think. This is kind of a cupcake kind of tweet, actually, for a Boston Bruin fan. But, Cam, a Boston Bruin fan just told me to go F myself, essentially. Where is it here?
I get that a lot.
Oh, here it is. Somebody said, yeah, Kyle said, tune in to Sports Grid. All I hear is Bruins hate. Immediately change the channel. Bruins hate? We were complaining that they're on TV too much. That's not Bruins hate.
Yeah, come on.
It's kind of thin-skinned of you there, Kyle, I got to say. Like, cause I'm sure, like, Boston Bruin fans say really nice things about the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, good point.
Like me. And the league. Like, all I said is, you know what I mean, there's too many blackouts, and for whatever reason, every Boston Bruin game is on TV. But the Vancouver Canucks have just scored. It's 4-2. They just added one. Wow. Right now. North Carolina just keep adding it two right now, 87-52.
Question.
With 3.5 minutes left. They're laying 35.5.
Is this the biggest margin of victory in playoff in like history? Oh,
play in history?
Yeah, it's got to be close.
It's a good question. Mo's a statistician. Maybe Mo knows. Mo Khan.
What's the deal here? Like, we know that's this. A lot of points.
I can't recall any blowouts like this, no, in this game.
87-52. 35.
But we have brought it up a lot that since 2011, Mo, when they've started to do this, the first four, 13 teams have won multiple games coming from the first four. two teams have made it to the Final Four. Numerous right. teams have made it to the Sweet 16 after. Hell, Fairleigh Dickinson won a couple of games even. But UCLA made the run of the Final Four. VCU made the run of the Final Four. And there was a debate, which team is it going to be? North Carolina, San Diego State, Xavier, or Texas? Nobody thought North Carolina belonged to be here, Mo, but you know, they showed up tonight with a chip on their shoulder against the Aztecs.
Yeah, you know, UNC's underachieved all season long, guys. Remember, they were a top 10 ranked team. I think number 8 coming into the preseason polls, and they just kind of, you know, had a whole soiling of their bed in the first 10 games where they didn't play well, right? You lost to Kentucky, lost to some bigger name programs out there. But the thing was, going to the final month of games, even though they were playing, I guess, quad 3, quad 4 teams, they start to build momentum and confidence that they can win these type of games. And, you know, they were a foot away from perhaps being Duke in the semifinals in the ACC. And you're absolutely right about the history of the teams in the play-in rounds. You kind of get the jitters out in that bracket. And then when you go to your actual games on Thursday or Friday, you're a lot more relaxed, more focused going into the rhythm of things here. So I think for UNC, we get Ole Miss, you look at the path. You get Ole Miss, you beat them, you might play the 3 seed or Lipscomb. I forget who the 3 seed is. I think it's Tennessee, where it might be at that on that side of the bracket. So UNC could be a Sweet 16 team with the momentum that they're going to generate from this game, and then perhaps beat Ole Miss on Thursday or Friday, whenever they play their game, that they'll have an opening day.
Yeah, Thursday, and they would get Ole Miss, and if they won, they would get Iowa State.
Iowa State, that's right.
They could beat Iowa State too, Gabe. Like, they might go on a
heater. They are beatable. And Iowa State aren't healthy right now either. They're another team with injury concerns coming into the tournament. Big injury concerns. Man, they're up to 90. The big thing is, guys, North Carolina are like 13 to 20 from three tonight. Right? The shots are just falling here, and they're bombing threes late. So the game has gone over, guys. They're at 147. Now 149, 92 to 57. All right, Mo, what do you think of tomorrow's games? We'll start off with Xavier and Texas. Texas, not quite North Carolina, but a little bit similar. But Texas played a harder schedule. So you look at their wins and losses, but they went through the gauntlet of the SEC. And Trey Johnson's one of the best players in the country. He can take over a game. It's going to be a fun game tomorrow night against Xavier. We'll get Mo's take on the other side as we're coming up against it right now. So Vancouver are up on the Winnipeg Jets. We got a good one going on at the Intuit Dome. 67-61 right now for the Cavaliers. Under 3 minutes left in the first half. We got to be over this game. In-game total right now, guys, 259.5.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do this thing. We got our boy Mo Khan in the house. We're watching North Carolina dismantle SDSU right now. 92-65. The game's coming to an end. And North Carolina are keeping it classy till the end. They just hit a three
so
with 12 seconds left.
That's the computer, the committee. Screw you guys. Yes.
Yeah, like that's the thing.
Screw you, bumpkin.
That's why I said earlier, San Diego State, you guys were screwed. Like, you were in a bad, like, spot here, like, with these guys coming in here angry. Just like it's 12 seconds left. I always complain they don't play to the whistle, but a kid on North Carolina just bombed a three and hit it. Then San Diego State just hit a three at the buzzer. 95-68, track meet. 95-68, final score. North Carolina advance will now get Mississippi. We'll get you to point spread momentarily. So, Mo, what's your pick tomorrow? Let's get after it now. What's your pick tomorrow? Xavier and Texas.
I'm not liking Texas at all, guys. I really, you know, I've seen a couple of Longhorn games this year in the SEC action. They don't cut it for me. I really don't think they cut it for me. And I think they've had these underachieving moments this year where you say to yourself, how the bleep did they lose this game? Or how do they win this game out of nowhere? But I think Xavier, they played tougher basketball in the last 3-4 weeks of conference play. Give me Xavier to win this game. I think they're going to get into the tournament itself.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to go with Texas in this spot tomorrow. And I'm just looking at the player props right now, guys. This is going to be one of the best and funnest sort of like two players on the court really going after it, like taking it to the rack and scoring points in Ryan Conwell and Trey Johnson. People are talking about Trey Johnson. Like, that's my thing with Texas, Mo. They have a ton of talent. You're right. They underachieved. They played in a ton of close games this year, but they played in a really tough conference. But look what they just did in the SEC conference tournament, right? They beat Vanderbilt. They beat Texas A&M. They hung with freaking with Tennessee until the final couple of minutes. Foul trouble finally caught up to them. It was their third game in 3 days. I think Texas stepping up tomorrow. And I don't think much of the Big East, actually. Like, I sort of think of the Big East like the Mountain West of the East Coast. Like, it's okay, but I think, like, systematically they're going to get bounced. Oklahoma and UConn is an intriguing one to me. But just for the record, guys, Conwell is prop is 18.5 tomorrow, and Trey Johnson is 19.5. That's a lot for a college player. It goes to show the respect that they have for the lottery pick in Trey Johnson. All right, so Mo says Xavier. I say Texas. Cam, what's your pick, Xavier or Texas?
I'm leaning Texas, too. I think they're just a team, and they can set the reset button. I think they're more talented. You know what it is, Mo, too? Like, I see St. John's as head and shoulders above everybody in the Big East, like, right. And they roll in their tournament, too. That's the thing. Like, there's some real dogs in the Big East, to Gabe's point. So Texas, they have a murderer's row they play. It'll be a grind. It's probably going to be a very close game. I expect like it to be like a fight, but I expect Texas to pull it out, and I'll take the three, and I'll lay the money line with the Texas Longhorns, probably win by, like, 4 or 5. It should be a tight game.
And speaking of tight games, man, what an epic finish, Mo, tonight with St. Francis and Alabama State. Leitner and Hill all over again. Hail Mary, Doug Flutie. Like, it was all the pass, Mo, the way that he looped it so high over everybody, right? Because they were kind of positioned properly. You can't really say, oh, like, they weren't ready for it. They were, right? There were a bunch of red jerseys in the paint, and they all went DB style. They all went up for it. But like, the ball went over everybody and, of course, bounced right to the dude under the basket. It was just like one of those miracle type of plays. I expected it to be a close game. It was. Now, tomorrow, we have another short point spread here. American University, you're laying 2.5 against Mount St. Mary's tomorrow. Total 129. American coming off their win. They beat Navy, actually. And it was a pretty impressive win to beat Navy the way that they did. But a shocker that American are in the tournament here right now against Mount St. Mary's. What's your pick here, Mo?
Taking Mount St. Mary's. American, I saw a snippet of what they did during conference play in the tournament run that they had. I mean, look, I think their size is going to be one of the biggest question marks going to this game tomorrow. Can they rebound well enough in this matchup? If they can't rebound in those 50-50s, I think Mount St. Mary's is going to win this basketball game, beg your pardon. And the reality is, what it'll come down to is how they officiate the game. Remember, in this game tonight with St. Francis, Alabama did not have a free throw until, 5 minutes left in the second half of that ball game. So I'm just curious to see how that officiating is going to be tomorrow, if there'll be more tight calls called for both teams than how it was slanted in the first game that we saw tonight, that it was no free throws until late in the game.
Good call. We'll get to the refereeing, especially when it comes to the SEC in the tournament in a couple of minutes. But Alabama State wasn't really taking it to the rack. And another thing is, too, Mo, they were letting it go, bro. Like, those kids were, like, colliding. Like, it was so choppy. It was like a street game. There were just collisions. I mean, it was pretty crazy, the collision that gave, like, Matlock missed the free throw late. But that was like, they were lucky to get that foul that they just sort of collided at half court and it gave them the foul, but it was deserving. I will say, listen, it's been a hell of a year for American. I think Mount St. Mary's, like you said, Mo, they played against better teams this year, right? Although they are like totally evenly matched. Let's call it out for what it is. I think the total is going to get there. I think it's a little too light at $1.29. Cam, what's your pick, Mount St. Mary's or American?
I'm glad I'm not tied up in a basement. They said you got to pick a winner here to spare your life, because this game can go either way. This is very, very difficult. I agree with you, Gabe. I see more points. That total looks very light. I lean American. I don't know what to do with this game, to be honest with you. I like the Texas game a hell of a lot better. I'd be lying if I said this game was like a lock or I had a real strong opinion of it. I don't. That's straight up true.
Alabama State won tonight, guys, and their reward. Oh, it's not Auburn. The most glamorous game, Cam. Yeah, I'm not going to hate. I don't blame you. Alabama State and Auburn. Auburn are 32-point favorites, just for the record. Wow. So that's the opening number. Auburn minus 32 against Alabama State. And all right, what about the game we just watched here? North Carolina. We get a North Carolina number up with Mississippi. I'll get it in a second here as they post it. All right, Mo. So What do you think? Let me go through some of the props here, actually.
Yeah.
And this was shocking, Bo. I posted this on X the other day, that only one time in the history of the NCAA tournament of all four one seeds made it to the Final Four. And it was in 2008. Like, it's pretty crazy because a one seed generally always wins the damn tournament. 13 of the last 17 tournaments have been won by a one seed. But there's always a one seed or two that gets knocked off along the way. How many one seeds between Florida, Auburn, Duke, and Houston, out of those four teams, how many of them do you think make it to the Final Four?
I got Florida going in. I think Auburn gets knocked. I think Duke gets knocked. And I think Houston has a really good chance to get into the Final Four as well.
Ooh, Duke gets knocked.
I'm thinking very similar to you. I've got Alabama knocking Duke off, actually, but
I agree.
You know, I'm not feeling great about it, but I was just sort of thinking outside the box, Mo. But they are on a collision course.
They are, and Nate Oates is a really good coach. Remember, he's done well against ACC competition. Remember last year against UNC, where he took these guys out at the knees. And this thing that Duke has been kind of – they have not been challenged in the ACC. They kind of wheezed through the tournament, right? They had a couple of hiccups here and there. But I don't know if Duke is – they're loaded with talent. There's no question. But at that point, you rely on more veteran teams. And you look at their side of the bracket. If they get Mississippi State next round, they'll probably be Mississippi State. But that will be a draining game because of how State leans on teams with their size and, again, the rebounding. So I think right now for Duke, their path to the, you know, to the regional final will be a lot tougher than the other one seeds in this tournament this year.
I agree with you. I said the same thing last night. Like Mississippi State or Baylor, okay. I think Mississippi State gets past Baylor. Let's say they get past that game. Then they're on a collision course with Arizona, right? Or potentially the Ducks, but I think Arizona. And then after that, they would have to play Alabama still. Like they did not get an easy path here.
No.
And even though Auburn's path is technically the easiest one, and me and Camp talked about it, these conference tournaments are useless. I mean, Auburn lost three of their last four games in a year. Excuse me. They still get the overall one seed. But even though they have a favorable path, I'm with you. I still think Auburn will get knocked off along the way here. I think they're the most vulnerable ones. But Duke, also with Duke, they're really good. Good point. They wonder about the ACC. I mean, they did murder teams this year, but Duke's players get hurt every game. I wonder, like, if they're going to be able to get through six games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're breaking down the NCAA tournament, looking at some of these numbers here. Talking about the one seed. So, Mo, you're going to say two. Cam, how many out of the four do you say get to the Final Four?
Three
pays pretty well still, actually. Three pays pretty well. So the number here, these are the numbers. Number one seeds to make the, this is the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four. Here we go. Number one seeds to make the Final Four. All right. Under, none of them. If you say none of them, plus 900, you're not getting enough value back for that. Like one of them is going to make it. Over one and a half. So if you think two of them are going to make it, it's minus 250. If you think three of them are going to make it, over two and a half, it's plus 225. And all four number one seeds to make the Final Four is 17-1. Mo, let's get into some of the games on Thursday right now and see if we agree or disagree. I haven't pulled the trigger on the games yet. I'm taking it day by day. But there's a bunch of the dogs that I like. I'm just sort of watching the line moves right now here for these games. But we get started on Thursday morning. Creighton and Louisville are the first ones up, and you want to talk about an evenly matched game here, bro.
Oh yeah.
You know, you could argue that Louisville were underseeded, but the fact is, like, the committee didn't have a lot of respect for the ACC, but they had enough respect for the ACC to put North Carolina in, so it gets sort of double-edged there. But like Louisville, like the Louisville coach said, I think we should have been a 5 seed or, you know what I mean, a 6 seed at the worst. You notice Michigan didn't say anything. And in my, you know, I sort of noticed my experience. Whenever a team starts bitching about a bowl game they're playing in or, like, the seed that they got, they end up losing anyways. Like, they're not focused just on, like, all right, listen, we got to man up and play who we're going to play. So Louisville complaining about this a little bit, I think, threw me off a little bit here, Mo, but I don't really trust Creighton either. This is a tough game, this one.
And it's also a de facto home game for Louisville, too, right? When you think about where they're playing this first round games this weekend.
Yeah, that was the bonus for them. They got Lexington out of it. You're right.
That's right. And I just think that Louisville, with their new staff that they brought in this past season, has reformed that look, right? They're playing more edge of your basketball. They're able to dribble, drive, and get the quality shots in the open space that they didn't have in years past. But I think Creighton, look, they're a well-coached team. We know how they play, guys, right? They like to play that half-court style of offense here and find that quality shot that they want to find at the end of the shot clock here. I think it might be on the under for the total points, but giving Louisville the win because this is a de facto home game that they'll have in the first two rounds if they get past the opening game on Thursday.
Total is 145.5. Yeah, it's hard to run to the window to bet the over. This could be a real slugfest, like we saw with Louisville and Clemson. High point in Purdue. High point. The Panthers are starting to become a trendy pick, Mo. I'm on the bandwagon. I'll admit it. They score 82 points a game. They bomb a bunch of threes. They play at a high tempo. Purdue have a history of stumbling early in the NCAA tournament. Purdue are clearly better than they are, and this is a big step up in class for a high point. But if high point shots are falling and Purdue have to play at a tempo they don't really want to and their shots are going cold, this could be a challenge for them. I do like high point plus the 8 points. They're trendy, Mo. What's your pick, Purdue high point?
I absolutely agree with you on that front because if this begins to track me, Purdue's not built for that, guys. They're built for half-court offense. Slow it down, grind it out. Feed it in to whoever the big man might be at that point for them. But if they allow high point to get those quality shots of threes on the transition plays, it could really be them on their heels and high point on their toes attacking them whenever they want. But I agree with you game through and through with what that point spread is with high point coming in.
I was thinking about Montana plus 17, that it feels a little high, and it still does. But when Montana stepped up in class this year, they did get murdered. Like, when they played good teams, they did lose by 20 and 25 and 22. The tournament's a little bit different, but, you know, I got a little bit standoffish. SIU Edwardsville, this is going to be like a SIU Law and Order crime unit show. Like, there's just going to be a bloody scene
SIU
at the end.
SIU Criminal Intent.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Cam. SIU Edwardsville, there's going to be a murder that went on, and the Houston Cougars are the killers.
You're right. There's a cougar there just sitting there. Yeah, they might win.
Edwardsville are in a lot of trouble. And last year, for the record, Houston won their opening game by like 42. They don't let up. Like, they're going to murder these guys.
Law and Order SIU. Yeah, Cougars by like 45.
That's a crime scene awaiting. For the record, I got Houston going to the Final Four, so I think Houston are going to get through this. And I got them in the championship game, actually, as well. I got a Houston-Florida right now. I got a Houston-Florida final in a bracket. And I don't have a million brackets, but Alabama State and Auburn, we talked about a 32. All right, Mo, McNeese State is another trendy team against Clemson. They're getting 7.5, like high point. What do you think of McNeese State? They made the tournament last year, got blown out. People think their experience is going to help them this year. Are you buying or selling McNeese against Clemson?
I'm buying McNeese because they got my long-lost cousin, Amir Khan, right? The student equipment guy who's the beatbox guy when they come out of the tunnel and stuff, right, with what he's done so far. He's become like a cult figure down in McNeese State. Look, I think Clemson, same thing in the ACC, right? The conference as a whole was pitiful this year, right? And going into the ACC tournament, people were questioning, is Clemson really a legit tournament threat to do anything at all? I think McNeese gives them some serious problems. I think this might come down to the last 5 minutes of who wins that basketball game. And the question for Clemson coming into that, you know, situation is, are they built to win those type of tight games? Given that McNeese State has nothing to lose at that point of where we're at right now in this tournament.
BYU and VCU. A couple of guests that we've had on have picked VCU in this game. Mo, what do you think about VCU and BYU? VCU barely got by George Washington, it should be noted, in that championship game. But what do you think about this matchup of the U's?
BYU's got a lot of momentum, guys, right? From the NIL, from what they're doing now, building up the program after Mark Pope left. But give me VCU to pull off the win over BYU.
Mo says the VCU Rams get it done against the Cougars.
That's a tough game.
I'm going with BYU. I think BYU size is going to be a difference in this game. Great game. Fun game. All right, more on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're fired up. A couple of more games tomorrow, and then there's no turning back Thursday and Friday. We've just got a plethora of games. We're going to be on from 10 o'clock Eastern until 1 o'clock Eastern. So 7 to 10 Pacific on Thursday and Friday for the late sessions, including, and I want to get to a best of X. We'll get to this in a second, Mo. We can't get to every game, but UC San Diego, the Tritons are a trendy team. They got a 15-game win streak. They're the number one team against the spread as well. So bettors, they're a hipster team with people that bet college basketball because they're the number one team in the country when it comes to betting. But now they basically got to win the game, right? They're so trendy. They got to win the game. You're not even really getting points. Michigan are 2.5-point favorites in this game. I don't think they did any favors to Michigan, Mo. You know, I don't know how the hell Wisconsin is a 3-seed and Michigan's a 5-seed. But whatever, it is what it is. Can't complain about it. And Michigan's playing in the West Coast, late night game against a team from the West Coast in altitude and all this. But I think Michigan are going to beat them. No, UC San Diego don't have anyone bigger than 6'7 on their team. Michigan's 7-footer is going to be too much for them. I think Michigan get it done. But what do you think, Mo? UC San Diego, are you on the bandwagon?
Gabe, I got Michigan going to the Final Four.
Oh, I like it.
That answers the whole your question. So I got them going, man, because, you know, you made a point earlier today about the either going to bust or go to Final Four, right? But you watched that Wisconsin game on Sunday. They showed a lot of character, right? And you look at the roster, right? They have Final Four experience with certain players coming in from Florida Atlantic. Yeah. I beg your pardon, Florida.
And their coach has Final Four experience.
No question, right? And I just think that Michigan has been kind of trending upwards. People talk about Michigan State in the Big Ten and how they're the sweetheart pick to go with. But Michigan's been under the radar the entire year, and now they've built up towards this crescendo here. And I think they can run it right now. And that's why that side of the bracket, I believe they're going to get out of that bracket and be in the Final Four and face Florida on April 5th.
So do I, actually, Mo, in my bracket as well. And I didn't at first. Then I started to think, I'm like, Auburn are vulnerable. I think Michigan are going to beat. UC San Diego. I got Yale is in an upset, beating Texas A&M, and then we'll have Michigan and Wolf versus Yale. That'll be a nice story. I think Michigan beats Yale, and then they got a collision course with Auburn after that. And we all think Auburn are vulnerable. All right, so this is the best of X. This is for you, Cam, and the Seattle Seahawks fans out there. Yep. They made it official. Cooper Kupp is officially a Seattle Seahawk, and I like his attire at the press conference today. Let's roll it. Cooper Kupp looks like he's going to Lollapalooza.
I mean, yeah, exactly. He's getting ready to go out.
He's going to the Vans Warped Tour.
Exactly.
He went
all out Seattle here, though. I love it. He's got the plaid on. He's got a Pearl Jam tour shirt, like, from years ago. He's got the hat on backwards. He's rocking. And he goes from L.A., Mo, right into Seattle, the polar opposite. He dropped the L.A. look. Now he's back in Seattle. But for the record, because a lot of people are like, why is he in Seattle? Why would he do all this? He is from there, right? He's from outside of Seattle area. He's like a local. Yeah. Played at Eastern Washington. He's a local high school legend. He grew up playing like an hour and a half from the stadium, high school and stuff. And you know, the Venezuelan Vixen, actually, the UFC fighter, she's from Spokane, and she's good friends with Cooper Kupp, actually. They all stick together and stuff. Like, Kupp's a big, like, used to call her before big fights and stuff, and she going to the Super Bowl and all that. So I know he's stoked to go back home. And they stoked to be rocking the Pearl Jam gear. So, Mo, you said Michigan versus Florida in the Final Four. That's what I have right now as well. And on the other side, a little bit tricky. We talk about Duke or not, whether they're going to make it. I, you know, in a bracket I filled out, I got a little bit bold, and I said Alabama knocks them off. Yep. But I got Houston going to the final, and I got my Michigan Wolverines, unfortunately, losing to Florida in the Final Four. And then a Florida-Houston national championship game, Mo. Who do you have? Who wins the national championship, in your opinion?
Same Final Four. I got Florida beating Houston in the big one on the Monday nights.
I got Houston beating Florida. And
Florida beating Duke.
Florida beating Duke. All right. Listen, everybody, Florida beats Duke. That'd be a hell of a game, too. Everybody, a lot of people love Florida. I just don't like the history, guys. The last 32 years, only two times as a coach, not won a championship in his first run like this. Like, Golden has no NCAA tournament experience, and the history's not on his side. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.